Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, January 4th, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 157, the sixth paragraph. "Yes, that's me," said the sick man, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Avi B. for the 12 Steps, Terry H. for the 12 Traditions, reader of the text, Kara L., Dana P. will read page 164 and also be our backup reader this morning. The reference number for Monday, January 3rd, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 18,348. And for this morning, Tuesday, January 4th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 18,353. That's 18353. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Betsy H., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, "Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers." At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Avi B. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Avi.
Good morning. Thank you for letting me be of service. This is Avi B., overeater, trying to recover. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Avi B., and I'll now ask Terry H. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service, and Happy New Year, everybody. My name is Terry H. I'm from Pensacola, Florida. It's chilling 35 degrees temperature. I'm a compulsive overeater, recovered compulsive overeater. 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. And two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, and they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters of affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6 and OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, televisions, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to serve. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Terry H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 157, the 6th paragraph. "Yes, that's me," said the sick man, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I'll now ask Kara L. to begin reading. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning, Don. Good morning, my fellows. Thank you for your service today. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. "Yes, that's me," said the sick man. "The very image. You fellows know your stuff all right, but I don't see what good old do. You fellows are somebody. I was once, but I am nobody now. From what you tell me, I know more than ever I can't stop." At this, both the visitors burst into a laugh. Said the future fellow anonymous, "Damn little to laugh about that I can see." Good morning again. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. I do love this paragraph. I love any time in the Big Book that it talks about laughter and people laughing. There's another story in our book that, you know, recounts this also in the laughter. And I identify in with that because it's, you know, for me, there is a vast amount of joy. And for me today, there is a lot of laughter. And there's identity with that. And there's hope with that. And, you know, and I try to remember, you know, I'm looking at this and I try to put myself in this position. I'm hopeless. And here two gentlemen come in who are hopeful, who are miracles before my eyes, you know, if I believe what they're telling me, right? And they're joyful. How can that be? If they were as desperate as I was, how can they be joyful? And that's where the hope for me comes in today. And that's where when I'm working with somebody, I have to remember, today I'm joyful. Today I have a conscious contact with a power greater than myself. Today I turn to my life, to all things, to that power, right? And my life is lighter and joyful. And I have to remember that when I'm coming in and I'm working with someone new, where I was, and to recount where I was and say, you can have this too. You know, I think that's part of the laughter in this is like, yeah, we were hopeless and we were nobody. And today this is what we had because we work this program, you know, and we have a power greater than ourselves that I know for me helps me through every situation, big, small, every situation. And for that, I'm grateful today. So with that, I'll pass, and I look forward to hearing everybody's thoughts on this wonderful paragraph. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kara L., for getting us started. I'll now be opening up the lines to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, please let me know your name.
Noel E.
Noel E.
Larry G.
Larry G.
Deb E.
Deb E.
Roz G.
Roz G. Okay, let's start with that. Oh, who's that?
Donna K.
Donna K. And then I'm having a little bit of difficulty hearing the other voice that came in there.
Anita W.
Oh, very good. Anita W. Thank you so much. Okay, let's go with that. I have Noel E., Larry G., Deb E., Roz G., Donna K., and Anita W. Go ahead, Noel. Please get us started.
Good morning. It's Noel E., recovering compulsive overeater in Louisiana. Thank you for everybody doing service on this line. And thank you for the reader who just shared. This paragraph speaks right to me, and for me, it's about the laughing too, because I, you know, I don't have any memories without compulsive overeating. I was doing it as a child before I can remember, and the appropriate response to the, broken environment I was in, and I was my family's court jester, keeping everybody laughing. You know, my wit was what my superpower was for 36 years. And it was so much easier to laugh or make someone laugh than it was to feel anything else. Like that was... And now in recovery, I sometimes get that feeling of being like, oh, have I lost the superpower? And I know that it basically, it's just basically being guided by my higher power now. It's not being something that I... you know, a mask that I wear. And over time, higher power will show me what to do with it and that he gave it to me. You know, she gave it to me for a reason. But I just am so grateful to hear that this morning because, you know, as I recover, I'm going through, you know, a lot of what I've done to people. And being able to laugh with those people again is like euphoria, you know, because for a long time there was nothing. And then now that there's something and now we can even laugh about something. And that is, that keeps me running into the arms of my higher power. And at least that's what I'm being shown. So hope everybody has a beautiful day. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Noel E. from Louisiana. Now, Larry G., will you share with us, followed by Deb E.? Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Don. Larry G. from California. This is precisely when I came into a vision for you, this paragraph in May of 2020. And my Ebby was a recovered visions woman who 12-stepped me, and I didn't even know her. I called her out of the blue, and she asked me if I'd be willing to get on a call Monday, and I did. this part here, I was once, but now I'm a nobody now. I can't stop. And that's where I was on May 17th. I couldn't stop. It's 2:20. I remember my first call, Terry O from Oregon said, my ability to white knuckle it has been smashed. And I know a 100-pound relapse is coming. I can't stop it. The game changer for me has been working a big book based OA program. I always knew that I could have a black and white absence, that just like my OA recovery, just like my AA recovery, I haven't drank in 40 years and haven't obsessed about it. But I knew it was possible in this program. But the first 60 days was awful. My sponsor at the time would laugh. She would say, it's going to get sweet. You just have to trust. And it has gotten sweet. That person is no longer my sponsor, but I have a sponsor today that I just love, an amazing sponsor. And today we're working on refining my plan of eating. It's not about the food. It's about my fear that I do not get enough. And I limit the amount of food I eat each day, but I know that there was a woman yesterday on the call who talked about getting loose and goosey with her plan of eating, which led to a relapse. And I know that that's a danger for me. So Bill here, who is being 12-step by Bill and Bob, I was a goner. And I couldn't stop. And I could spend an hour or more sharing with you the gifts I have received from recovery, one of which I spent the second sober holidays from October through December, through Christmas. And I would eat my way through that. It was just awful. I couldn't stop eating. And it's not about the food. It just isn't. I learned that. It's about the abnormal mind, the strange mental twist that precedes the first drink. And so I'm grateful for all of you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Larry G. from California. Now, Deb E., will you share with us, followed by Roz G.? Good morning, Deb.
Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And I like that line also, you fellows are somebody. I was once, but I'm a nobody now. I feel like it was a little bit the opposite for me. When I came into OA, my self-esteem was so low. I felt like a nobody. I don't think I'd ever felt like a somebody before that, except in some, you know, brief moments of false pride and my ego making me think, you know, like I'd had to kind of convince myself I was somebody, but never really believing it wholeheartedly. And it's really through coming to OA and finding a higher power and, you know, filling that spiritual void that I had in me, that I feel like I've found a higher sense of purpose and that I feel like I'm somebody today. I feel like I have things to share. I feel like I have my place and my part in this world, you know, and I didn't have that same sense of purpose before. The disease just kind of took over and convinced me to just stay in self-pity and, you know, to think that I just didn't have anything of value to share. And I can still get caught up in that sometimes, but I can catch myself now and remember that my higher power has, you know, created me exactly the way I'm supposed to be. And the experiences I've had have all been for a reason, and they've all brought me to where I am today. And the steps have just taught me how much value I do have. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deb E. from Israel. And now we'll have Roz G. share with us, followed by Donna K. Good morning, Roz. Press star one, Roz G.
Good morning. I'm out walking my dog, so I needed to unmute. Okay. So Good morning. My name's Ross G, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Palmdale, California. And I am so grateful that I can laugh at myself. It has been, I think, probably the greatest gift. Of course, my relationship, I won't put it at the top. My relationship with God, my newfound relationship with God is the most important, is the greatest gift I've received in this program. But laughter comes high up there on that priority list of greatest gifts. Because laughter, being able to laugh at myself, is the beautiful freedom of me taking things so seriously. You know, in my untreated sickness days of many program ailments, spiritual maladies, I always took everything so seriously. I was always in a bad mood. I sucked to be around. And, you know, my kids had to bear some of the suckiness of that, you know, because if I didn't eat sugar, there was no sugar in the house. You know, no desserts or anything or whatever diet I was on, they were on, you know, for the most part. It sucked. And the 12 steps and going into the meetings gave me back a sense of humor, because I'm generally love to be around people who like to laugh. I love jokes. I love to crack jokes. I love to hear jokes, and I love to have a sense of humor. It is a gift. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And over the past week, well, few days, I had a resentment. When these pop up, not if these pop up. And it popped up. And I got pissed off at a couple of people. And I nursed it for a little while. I did some 10 steps. And still, it was really gnawing at me. But, you know, I finally got through it. And I'm able to laugh at myself. Because what it came down to was people weren't doing it the way I wanted them to do it. I couldn't be the director of their show. They weren't following my script. And I was wasting my time. So if something bothers me, I'm going to try to just turn it off, turn off the phone, or avoid that phone call, avoid that situation. There's so many choices, like with food. There's so many choices in this life for me to be a part of. And when it comes to food, I can be a part of natural foods that are as close to the natural state they're supposed to be in. And when it comes to relationships, I can be hanging around the most healthy people that I can and not try to be, you know, the star or the one that gets the attention. It just sucks. I don't want to be that way. Okay, thanks. And I pass. And I'm going to unmute. Thank you. Unmute.
Thank you so much, Roz G. Now, Donna K., will you share with us, followed by Anita W.? And just a reminder, we're on page 157, the sixth paragraph. "Yes, that's me," said the sick man. And we're commenting on that one paragraph only today. So please share with us, Donna K.
Yes, hi. My name is Donna K. I'm from Humboldt County, California, and I am a newcomer. This paragraph hit me hard. I am the man in the bed. I'm struggling to surrender. I'm broken. I have forgot how to laugh. Anyway, thank you for being here for me.
Thank you so much, Donna Kay. Keep coming back. Anita W., will you share with us now, please?
Hi, good morning. My name is Anita, and I am a compulsive overeater. I really like this paragraph. When I first came into the program, it was everyone else that was commenting on my eating behind my back. Even though I had gained weight and I felt sluggish and all I thought about was food, I thought, well, you know, who knows what this is. But then I got to that point where I realized, after dieting in any way possible, any and every way possible, I couldn't diet. So I was shocked, because I'd been thin all my life, except up to this point. And so what happened is I called and I, you know, just completely compulsively ate. I got online, found a meeting, because I'm in another program. So I thought, well, maybe there's something for this. Maybe there's a 12-step program for this. But there's no way this is going to work. That's what I thought. So I went to the meeting, and then after the meeting, someone reached out to me, and I told them that I had stopped and bought donuts and, you know, Panda and this and that on the way home. They went, okay, well, you know, keep coming back. And I thought, wow, you know, there's no judgment there. But at the meeting, I heard people that had the same story like I did. And it really started to sink in that I may be a compulsive eater. So I kept coming back. And I have about 2 years abstinence. But I got in 2009. And I no longer think it's a cult. But today it's a lot different. I have a much bigger idea of my higher power. I call my higher power God, and God is much bigger, kinder, loving, interested, compassionate. And that helps me a lot because I know I can just reach out and say anything. And I just recently moved in with a friend because I was living with my son and they moved to Texas. And this friend likes to have a lot of food around. And the table, the kitchen table, except for my half, is just piled full of cakes and pies and you know, 12 packs of muffins and all. And it doesn't bother me. I can pass it right by. I can even eat there and it just doesn't. I feel like it's poison to me. I'm just so grateful for this program, and this meeting is just amazing. It's so solution bound, and I just thank everyone for sharing and being of service and keeping this meeting going. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Anita. And did you mention what state you're calling from, if you want to let people know?
I'm in Los Angeles, California.
Very good. Thank you so much, Anita W. from California. And now I'm going to be opening up the lines to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Hi, Krista S.
Krista S.?
Crystal S, yes.
Oh, okay, very good. Crystal S.
Annabelle Harriet. V.
One more time.
Annabelle Z.
Annabelle Z.
Babylonia A.
Christy M.
Christy M.
Babylonia A.
Babylonia A.
IDS. Dana P.
And there was someone before Dana. Who is that?
Harry G.
Was it IVS?
Yes.
Okay, IVS. And I have Dana P. And who is that last person? Okay, let me tell you who I have. I have Crystal S., Annabelle Z., Christy M., Babylonia A., IVS, and Dana P. And was there one other person?
Terry G.
Okay,
thank
very
you.
Good. All right, so let's go ahead with Crystal S., Annabelle Z., and then we'll take Christy M. after that. So go ahead, Crystal, and please share where you're calling from.
Sure. Hi, good morning. My name is Crystal. I'm calling from San Francisco, California. And I just wanted to claim my seat once again. And to be able to go through the holidays abstinent is kind of a miracle. Not kind of, it totally is, let's be honest. And I just really related to the reading and about being that sick person in that bed. I, like a few other shares before, did not think that this was going to work. And that shift of allowing someone else to hear my secrets, meaning my sponsor, and working through it and having nobody judge me except myself and to let the steps have their way with me has been the most ultimate transformation I've ever had. And to be neutral with food is shocking still. So I just wanted to claim my seat and say thank you all for being here. It's such a beautiful way to start the morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Crystal S. from California. Annabelle Z., please share with us, followed by Christy M. Good morning, Annabelle.
Good morning. Thank you for your service and everyone else on the line. I'm so grateful to be here. I'm Annabelle, compulsive overeater in Washington State. The first thing, well, I loved things that everybody shared, and one gentleman who talked about being in another program. So when I came into another program early in my life, when I was 20, I was still glorified the substance so much that I could laugh a lot about, like, oh, yeah, you know, I ate so much of that, drank so much of that, whatever. And it took me many years of admitting to my innermost self that I had an addiction. When I came into OA in October of 2020, I was like this fellow, like a couple other people. I just get really choked up, that feeling of, you fellows are somebody. I was once, but I'm a nobody now. I know more than ever now. I can't stop. And then, you know, damn little laugh about that I can see. I felt that so deeply, yet I knew, like this other gentleman said, is I knew this program works. I know this program works. I just wasn't sure, could it really work for my, I got to keep eating. Like how do you stop eating when you have to eat? And I just did not think that this would work. And so it was so serious and it was so tragic. And then envision you women and all the other OA meetings I go to, and the men too, are so nice. I've never, ever, ever felt so much true love and compassion and care. So there wasn't a lot of humor at first, but my sponsor I would say something, and she would just so quietly and calmly and humbly just kind of chuckle sometimes when I would say something. And I remember feeling a little bit like bristled by it, but at the same time, I'm like, oh, that's the laughter that we do when we know that, yeah, me too. Don't worry about it. You'll get through this. And I've been starting to see little glimpses of that. And I'm really, really grateful. It's just the peace that can come, you know, the freedom from all that mind craziness of, you know, always being obsessed, the freedom that comes after the spiritual experience allows us to have access to joy and, you know, being able to see things lightheartedly. So I'm really grateful for this meeting in particular. Thank you, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Annabelle Z. from Washington. Now, Christy M., please share with us, followed by Babylonia A. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning. This is Christy M., grateful, recovering, bulimic, anorexic, and compulsive overeater from Oregon. This idea of laughter and almost community was something that I did not know how much, I basically think, I guess, of joy. And how much I didn't have joy in my life when I was in the middle of my eating disorder. When I think back, I thought that I had joy. I thought I had hobbies, but I was so unhappy. And even the things that should have brought me joy, like I used to really be into playing soccer, I was only doing so I could burn calories. And like I wasn't even enjoying I would play on some indoor or outdoor teams when I was younger, and I was sitting there on the sidelines obsessing over my playing time because I was so worried about how many calories I would burn. So everybody else is sitting there having a great time, and here's this thing that I'm supposed to be enjoying, and instead it was everything I did was about, you know, my weight, was about like losing weight. So all of my hobbies were like exercise oriented, and then I would sit there and obsess about the calories I was burning. And you know, my joy at night was to put my kids to bed and then, you know, eat until I purged, and like that was my release. And I didn't realize how unhappy, I mean, I knew I was unhappy, but I didn't realize how I wasn't experiencing any joy in any capacity, because my eating disorder had really taken over every aspect of my life. And now I'm a year and a half into abstinence, And I find I'm starting to, like, have hobbies and to have joy again. I started recently hiking and joined a hiking group. I started seeing friends again. And like, I went and visited my best friend who I hadn't seen in a year or two. Because so much of my disease was, like, isolation. It was shame-filled. You know, whenever I had free time, I wanted to indulge in my disease or go burn calories. And I had, like, lost all of these things that brought me laughter and joy. And I just feel like, in a way, I'm, like, thawing out of being this miserable person. And I'm starting to have emotions. Some of them are negative, right? Like, when you're so numbed because of the food, using I'll wrap up. Using the food to numb, like, you don't just numb the bad stuff, you numb the good stuff too. And so I was numbing all the bad stuff I didn't want to feel, but I was also numbing the laughter and the joy. And now I feel I'm starting to experience those positive emotions again. So thank you. With that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Christy M. from Oregon. Babylonia A, please share with us, followed by IVF. Good morning, Babylonia.
Good morning, everyone. Babylonia, recovering compulsive overeater. I'm always like surprised but grateful for how every meeting I go to sharpens my faith in God and leads me back to Him and gives me hope that I too can emotionally recover, because I've put down the food, but my emotions are not doing that great. And I think I'm kind of obsessed with what I'm eating and what is for my next meal. So the obsession with what am I going to eat next, it's like still the highlight of my day. And I'm only 21 days abstinent, so I know the big book says sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly the promises will manifest for us. So I'm only on step one, and I'm just grateful that I've made it this far, and I haven't binged, and I'm not restricting, and I'm not exercising as much, so I'm really grateful for that. I just want to emotionally become sober, so I'm trying to do service. I'm writing gratitude lists. I really like writing gratitude lists. I find that even I'm grateful for, like, the little things, like just the smile from someone, I write it down. Like the moon sometimes, because I get up early in the morning, and like my cup of coffee, a shower. It's just, I just write it all down. And I, whenever I notice myself like obsessing about trying to control someone else's behavior, I just go back to Babylonia. What are you grateful for right now? And it helps change the TV channel that my mind wants to go into. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Babylonia A. Now, Ivy S., will you share with us, followed by Dana P., and please let us know where you're calling from.
Yes, my name is Ivy S., and I'm from California. Ivy, compulsive overeater, and bulimic as well. I'm really grateful to be able to talk on the line this morning. Where it says, yes, that's me, said the sick man, that identifying in, it just reminds me of, gosh, over 2 years ago, I guess it's been 3 years now, listening to, I remember the day, I remember the setting. I was sweeping in the house because I wasn't binging and purging anymore, but and I had just discovered not too long ago the vision meetings, and I was sweeping and just randomly picked a Sunday edition to listen to, and hearing this lady, this fellow member, talk about binging and purging and how her roommate had gone away for the weekend and she binged and purged all weekend, because she was alone, and then, you know, binging and purging into this trash bag and other stuff that happened, and just really identifying in with, you know, she spoke of the insanity of, you know, the disease, and just going, oh my goodness, that's me, like I do stuff like that. And I'm just so grateful for her very specifics. And she didn't hold back. And I remember feeling that spark of hope that maybe, you know, kind of like he's saying here, that he's a nobody, that you guys are somebody, and I was, that I'm a nobody now. Not so much that I was a nobody, but just feeling like I'm so far gone, I'm so damaged, I'm so sick, I'm so out of control with my binging and purging, that I don't know if I'm salvageable, so to speak, you know. But hearing a fellow, you know, talk about her insanity just gave me the spark of hope. And right before then, I had been fired by my second sponsor, who had introduced me to Vision. And she had fired me because I had been unwilling to follow direction. And so what I ended up doing after listening to that Sunday edition speaker was calling her. And she asked me about what had happened and, you know, that I hadn't been willing to do this one thing. And she said, well, for me to sponsor you, you have to do this one thing. And of course, you know, just being, you know, desperate, I said, yes, I'm willing to do this thing. And so December 16th was my 2-year birthday, was my celebration. And so I'm really grateful for you all and grateful for this program. And thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, IVS from California. Dana P., please share with us, followed by Terry, and I'll need your initial, Terry. Thank you so much. Go ahead, Dana P.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you, Dana P. here in California. Thank you so much for your service. What a beautiful paragraph. Oh, my gosh, I could not resist. Yes, that's me, said the sick man. There he is laying in the bed, right? And I had to be literally tied up, and this guy, you know, he was the corker. He was the one that was fighting everybody. They had him tied down, and I say metaphorically, that's what my higher power did to me. You know, he's freaking strapped me to the bed. He said, enough already, and boy, did I fight. I fought until I was exhausted, and I could not fight anymore. And then my higher power directed me to this particular meeting. And I started listening again and again and again and again and over and over again. And he's talking about how, you know, you fellows are right. You know your stuff. But how do I relate to that? Well, you know, I looked for all the ways that I could opt out. You know, I did not relate to this and I did not relate to that. And I've never been overweight and blah, 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 blah. And in my disease mind, I made up all these excuses as to why I was not one of you. And this part I love where it says the visitor, and as I'm doing that, so he's saying this, you know, I can't, because here's why. And it's, they burst out laughing. And, you know, my mother used to say about me that life is very serious business for Dana, because I was very serious about everything. And even in my career, you know, you got to be serious because people are dying here, you know, suck it up, people. And so that I was very offended by this laughter. And what I realize now is that they were laughing at themselves. And what he didn't know at first, this the other Bill, we have a Bob sandwich here, you know, Bill and Bob in between there. What he didn't know is that they were exactly the same as him, came in full of pride and a reverse pride, as this fella has here, self-loathing, doubt, and fear. And that's where I came in. And how can we laugh when we're in that place? But these fellows, you know, they have a way out and they're laughing because, you know, you don't know what you're talking about, because this is funny. You know, there is just about it. And I can laugh at myself now. I'm so, so eternally grateful for this program, for this book, and to be on the sinking ship. You know, it's like that on page 17, it talks about that, you know, where people who normally would not mix, and here we are on the great liner going down. But you know what? Now we're all sitting around in the raft, laughing and splashing one another. That camaraderie, joyous, and democracy pervade the vessel from steerage to captain's table. So thanks for that time, and I'm going to pass.
Thank you so much, Dana P. from California. Now, Terry S., please share with us. Or I'm sorry, could I get your initial, Terry?
Hi, Dawn. Thank you. It's Terry G., and I'm in Colorado. Grateful, recovered, compulsive reader, and bulimic. So grateful to be in the fellowship of Vision for You. And I just clearly remember not identifying. I was not one of you. I remember hearing your voices and thinking, these people are dishonest. Like the recovery I heard on these lines was not the recovery or the voices that I heard in my face-to-face meetings. And I couldn't identify. But when I learned that identification is so critical, it's connection, then I can start to make a connection to God, to my higher power, and I can start to make a connection to you and myself. And so here in this paragraph, it's very clear to me that comparison is disconnection. And that's what the disease, the voice in my head, doesn't want me to believe, that I need to do all these things that you guys are saying I need to do. And I felt like when I first went through the steps, I could check them off in the box. So, step one, I've done that. Oh, I am powerless. Yes, I'm powerless. But it's a daily design for living, and I get to take step one every day. And I get to come to believe in a new connection with my higher power every day. I get to make the decision in step three that I want to turn my life, my thinking, and my actions over to that power. And I'm so grateful today to be connected through this call, this land bridge. And I can take up my bed and I can walk again. You know, the recovery is in this book, and I'm so grateful for the newcomer who came on earlier, who had the courage to share, because I can connect and identify with that suffering. I was there. But this program is so beautiful. There are so many gifts to connecting with a power that is outside of myself. I get to connect with myself for the first time when the food is down. And then in step 10, 11, and 12, I learn to connect with God, connect with myself, and connect with you. If you are suffering, please know it's a daily design, and we get to keep coming back. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Carrie G. from Colorado. We'll now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Dana P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, John. Dana P. here in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relation with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.